Telefolk, Sunday, July the 19th, 1964. Good morning, folks. Hope you and yours are feeling fine this beautiful Sunday morning. Sharing with me in that wish are all the Renfro Valley folks here with me, as well as visitors from other states all across the country who've dropped in on us here in the big old barn this morning. This big old barn that stands by the side of the road in Renfro Valley, Kentucky, where we get our mail. Yes, sir, that's our address, Renfro Valley, Kentucky. This is John Lair speaking, and I'm addressing a mighty fine bunch of listeners on radio stations around the country as they gather with us now in spirit at the regular Sunday morning Renfro Valley gathering. Some more of that plum hot weather hanging over Renfro Valley here of late. A little bit the most of it in one spell I think I remember hearing about in these parts. Night's still cool, though, and that's a lot to be thankful for, and we are. And now here's Miss Bess in a flancy, summery-looking dress, looking cool as a cucumber. She sits down at the parlor organ now to start us off on our opening hymn, The Lily of the Valley. The idea of reprinting the rare old Confederate newspaper in the July issue that some of them didn't even wait to see how it came out, but wrote right in to call it a good idea and asked that we give them more of the same in future issues. As I mentioned last week, we might do. Now, some of our Bugle readers have visited our Pioneer Museum here in Renfro Valley. They've seen some of the old papers and documents on exhibit here, and they'd like to see them duplicated in the Bugle so they could have full-size copies of them to cut out and tack on the walls of den or shop. We have authentic reward posters put out by the states of Missouri and Kansas for the James Brothers, several stagecoach hold-up posters, old books printed back in the 1600s, a lot of things like that. But to my mind, about the most interesting thing we could do along that line would be to print an old handwritten court order written up to dispossess Daniel Boone of early land grants. Now, this is on old paper turned brown, and the ink has faded so much that I'm not certain it will reproduce, but we'll try it anyway in the August issue and see how it comes out. Beginning with the July issue, the Bugle will carry more pictures. We expect to continue that policy for some time to come. Just this week, we picked up a couple of unusual what-is-its on which to test your skill. Now, remember, we're always on the lookout for such items, but as a rule, we can't reproduce them from snapshots. We need good, clear photographs. Anything of the kind that you have and want to sell, we'll try to buy it from you. When we get it down here, we'll photograph it, and then we can use it. Now, the Farmer Sisters with their usual good number for us.
If I walk in the pathway of beauty,
regular reader and a steady listener to the Renfro Valley Gathering is our good friend Lydia Maines of Huntington, West Virginia, who's 93 years old today. Out in Amarillo, Texas, Jacob Kalinske is celebrating his 91st birthday. Oldest reported for our birthday list this morning is Tom Atkins of Ranger, West Virginia, who's 100 years old. Mrs. Sheba Parkinson of Louisville, Kentucky, is 94. Ms. Edith Castlemaine of Richmond, Virginia, 93. Albert Benjamin Collins, Topeka, Kansas, 90. Mrs. Emma Easter of East Tawas, Michigan, 89. Mr. and Ms. Orion Craig of Denver, Indiana, are celebrating their 62nd wedding anniversary. Mr. and Ms. C.S. Willett, Morenci, Michigan, have been married 54 years. Mr. and Ms. Cecil Williams, Detroit, Michigan, 55. Mr. and Ms. David I. Penrose, Shreveport, Louisiana, 56. Mr. and Ms. Otto Grierson, Austin, Minnesota, 60. Mr. and Ms. Thomas Phelps Mangum, Savannah, Georgia, 59. Mr. and Ms. Roscoe Yardley, Memphis, Tennessee, 53. Mr. and Ms. W.A. Morgan, Louisville, Kentucky, 55. Celebrating golden weddings are Mr. and Ms. Worth Brooks of Toledo, Ohio, Mr. and Ms. Daniel Parks, Bay City, Michigan, Mr. and Ms. Richard Brindley, Chicago, Illinois, Mr. and Ms. Lafayette Myers of Little Rock, Arkansas. Homecomings today, in addition to those mentioned last Sunday, is the family reunion of Alexander and Robin Simonton at the home of Howard Simonton of Leroy, Michigan. A number of reunions for July the 12th failed to reach us in time to be announced for that day. For Sunday, July the 26th, the Craig family reunion to Hara, Ontario, Canada, Ferguson family at Saline, Michigan, and July the 25th, the Chase family reunion, the home of Mr. and Mrs. Roy B. Wilson of Holly, Michigan. This Sunday morning, and maybe next, we want to devote to honoring requests for certain songs. Now, heretofore, when we've done request numbers, we made it to practice to use the ones for which we had the most requests during a certain period of time. Since there are certain songs and hymns that always stand at the top of any mass request list, we find ourselves doing the same ones over and over, so we thought that for a while we might just take the requests as we come to them, one at a time, and start out this morning by honoring some of them. Even with that method, though, we'll find ourselves doing some of the more familiar numbers, starting out with one that Russ and Joe Fisher will sing next. Doing this request may be considered a kind of prompt service because the folks asking for it are right here in person and have been for a couple of days. They're Mr. and Ms. Reuben R. Powell of Springfield, Ohio, and their family and a group of friends. Among the many faithful listeners to the Renfro Valley broadcast over a number of years, the Powells would place well toward the top of the list. They've been down here to see us I don't know how many times. They've kept up with all activities of the Valley and its folks. When we play a personal appearance anywhere within reasonable driving distance of Springfield, Ohio, we can count on seeing their smiling faces in the audience. The Powells were married the year we were building Renfro Valley. They attended our first show, and they returned for all their wedding anniversaries, today marking their 28th. But they've not limited their Renfro Valley visits to such important occasions, but for the past 20 years have been coming down several times a year. Their names have been on the subscription list ever since the Renfro Valley Bugle was first published, and what is probably most unusual is the fact that Mr. Powell has taped off the air every Sunday morning program we've broadcast during the past 15 years. They were faithful supporters before we even met them, and in recent years have become valued personal friends. All this comes as a complete surprise to them, sitting down here in the front row wearing looks of amazement. They'd ask only for Silver Threads Among the Gold by Russ and Joe Fisher for their wedding anniversary, and all the rest of this was our own idea.
Shine upon my
congratulations, pals, on your 28th anniversary, and I hope we can share many more of them with you. Since we've kind of switched off onto requests from longtime listeners and faithful supporters, we might as well go ahead with it and answer a request from a man that we've never met, but with whom we've had considerable correspondence. I believe his distinction lies in probably having listened to us from more different, more unusual, and more distant points than any other one person we know of. We first heard from him from Africa. We were at that time doing a remote broadcast to foreign parts, and this man, Herbert Brillright, was in the African jungles with a surveying and exploring expedition. Later on, he called me from Philadelphia on leave home from duty under General MacArthur in the Philippines, and he called to say that General MacArthur and family had been hearing our broadcast and expressed themselves as being very fond of the Sunday morning gathering. Then he wrote later to say that radio had picked up our Saturday night broadcast at sea on an ocean liner he was on. Then came a letter from Japan asking we send over a tape of the Sunday morning show to play off for some of his Japanese friends, which, of course, we were glad to do. We've heard from him from several states in the Union during the past years after he just picked us up. And this morning, he'll be listening in from Ontario, Canada. Asked that somebody sing for him, Waiting for Ships That Never Come In. And here's Red Brigham to honor that request.
I'm waiting for ships that never come in. Watching and waiting in vain. Seems life's stormy seas hold nothing for me but broken dreams and shattered schemes. With each day of sorrow, I like to pretend just one more tomorrow, and waiting will end. I'm waiting for ships that never come in. I wonder where they can be. With each day of sorrow, I like to pretend just one more tomorrow, and waiting will end. I'm waiting for ships that never come in. I wonder where they can be.
A few years ago, when we were on a big nationwide network, we asked that folks who were listening to us under unusual circumstances or in unusual places write and tell us about it. We've got many letters, all highly interesting, and we'd like to ask the same favor again. If you're hearing this program now, this morning, under unusual circumstances, we'd like to hear from you about it. We'd also like to know who's listening in from furthest away. Now, since we've been broadcasting from Renfro Valley, we've had a great many visitors who have come to our broadcast hundreds of times. Up until her death a few years ago, I don't believe my sister had missed a Saturday night show in the old barn for almost 20 years, although during that time she was living in different places. Many visitors now hold lifetime passes. When anyone buys their 100th ticket to the barn dance, they are presented with a lifetime pass. There are several of them out. One regular visitor, who has long ago passed the 100 mark, will not accept the pass but continues to come every Saturday night and pay for 3 reserved seats for herself, her daughter, and her little dog, Joe Friday. Mrs. Johnson of Frankfort, Kentucky, and she and her daughter and Joe Friday have missed only one Saturday night in more than 3 years. In that case, they started from home in spite of a terrible snowstorm, but were turned back by a highway patrol who wouldn't allow them to come on to the valley over the roads. The farmer sisters now sing for Mrs. Johnson and her group.
Once I stood in the night with
Detroit, it'll be Saturday, August the 1st, and that's the date of our big annual all-night gospel sing, followed next day by an all-day sing. People from every state in the Union have attended this sing in years past. It's always the best attended event of the year in Renfro Valley. Gospel quartets and other singing groups come in from all around, and they do actually sing all night, beginning at midnight, right after the third country music stage show in the Big Barn. Then after attending the Renfro Valley gathering, eating breakfast, taking a few minutes rest, they come back into the barn around 10 o'clock on Sunday morning and sing right on through up into the afternoon until everybody's ready to go home. It's necessary to have reserved seats for the all-night sing, but not for Sunday, as the crowds are generally not so large during the daylight hours. Also be necessary to have tickets for either the first, second, or third barn dance show if you want to attend them ahead of the sing. At the present time, most of the all-night sing seats have been reserved. Only a few left, and they'll be moving pretty fast. And we'll try to manage to take care of all visitors that come, whether they have reserved seats or not. But to be sure of a good seat, it's absolutely necessary to reserve them in advance. As a rule, more than half the seats are reserved a year ahead. Folks attending the sing generally make reservations for the one the next year, which keeps the list pretty well filled up. You can still make reservations, but I can't say for how long. Now, if you want to camp out, as a lot of folks do, bring along your tent or sleeping bag. We have a lot of them camped out there every night. A lot of folks do that, and you can always find motel accommodations on this occasion, but not nearby, so it might be well for you to come in and camp out, if you'd like, around the grounds. Special request number this morning, Whispering Hope, is for Mr. and Mrs. E. Barkley of Louisville, Kentucky, sung by Red Brigham.
Soft as the voice of an angel, breathing a lesson on her. Persuasion whispers her comforting word. Wait till the darkness is over. Wait till the tempest is done. Hope for the sunshine to the shower is gone. Whispering, whispering hope. Oh, how welcome thy voice, making my heart in its breaking of day. whispering home. Oh, how welcome thy voice, making my heart in its sorrow rejoice.
Among our distant visitors this morning are Mr. and Ms. Richard Larson of New Sweden, Minnesota, Mr. and Ms. Elmer Baer of Midland, Michigan, Mr. and Ms. Lloyd Ott of Henderson, Michigan, Mr. and Ms. Clyde Baker of Bakerville, Ontario, Canada, Mr. and Ms. Cecil Harms of Waukegan, Illinois. Our closing hymn, Miss Bess, is I Need Thee Every Hour. Valley folks, inviting you to be with us again next Sunday for another Renfro Valley Gathering.